Good morning.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We welcome you to worship at St. Mark's on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season. There is no greater demonstration of God's love than what he has shown to us by sending Jesus to go to the cross to win our salvation and then also to rise from the dead. The message of Good Friday and Easter is the greatest demonstration that you and I can have of the love of God. And that message of God's love cannot help but affect us and fill our hearts and allow us to reflect God's love in our lives to the people that he has placed in our lives. And so that's the focus of worship on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season. We reflect on God's Easter love to us in Jesus' resurrection, and we see how that love is naturally reflected in our own lives in our own unique ways. The order of service for today, after the opening hymn, will first be the order of holy baptism. You'll find that on page 12 in the front of the red hymnal. And then after the service of holy baptism, the order of worship will continue on page 3 in the service booklet. So we'll open with hymn 719 in the blue hymnal supplement. Then we'll follow the service of baptism on page 12 in the front of the red hymnal. And after that, we'll continue with the order of service on page 3 in the service booklet. Come, let us worship the risen Lord.
Thank you.
find the order for holy baptism. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptisms, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Nancy, by the power of the word, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in Christ is yours. Now in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation. That you may give testimony of your faith, I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, then say, yes, I believe. Do you believe that this triune God planned and carried out your salvation? If so, then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism? If so, then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you desire to be baptized? If so, then say, yes, I do.
Yes, I believe.
Receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Nancy Wilson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life." Please stand. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love therefore urges all of us to assist in whatever manner possible so that Nancy may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, "Yes, as God gives me strength."
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptisms as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our lives.
Look with special favor on Nancy and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit, that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Please remain standing as our service continues on page 3 in the service booklet.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come aid me to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
The psalm for today's service is Psalm 98, printed on page 5 in the service booklet. Please sing the psalm responsively with the cantor as indicated on page 5.
Thank you.
scripture lessons selected for today's service reflect the theme that I noted at the start of today's service, how we as recipients of God's love naturally reflect his love in our lives. In the first lesson, we have a concrete example of that in a Christian woman from the first century named Tabitha, who was a fine example of Christian love. And in this account, we also see our Lord's power, Easter power over death, in raising Tabitha when she was called to rest, called to sleep in death. Acts chapter 9 is the location of today's first lesson. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson for today's service comes from St. John's first letter in chapter 4. In this section, St. John points out the two important Christian principles of holding to God's truth fully and also demonstrating Christian love in our lives. The second portion of this reading, verses 7 through 11, will be the basis for today's sermon. John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Out of respect for the words of Jesus recorded in the gospel, please stand. In words that Jesus spoke on Thursday of Holy Week to his disciples, he encourages them to demonstrate love to one another. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in chapter 15. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. After the Jubilation Choir sings its anthem, we will sing the hymn of the day, number 377 in the red hymnal. Please note on the bottom of page 7 the instructions for singing that hymn of the day antiphonally. We will follow that as we sing the hymn of the day after the children's anthem.
Yeah.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What's love got to do with it? So sang Tina Turner in her top of the charts hit from 1984. The song and the title was really a rhetorical question about her life and especially her marriage to Ike Turner. Tina Turner found herself in an abusive marriage with a husband suffering from addiction, and eventually she had to walk out of that abusive relationship. What's love got to do with it? She sang in response to her life. For Tina Turner, it seemed like love didn't have a whole lot to do with her relationship, which is why she dismissed it in her song as a secondhand emotion. What's love got to do with it? The question Tina Turner asked in her pop music hit from decades ago is the same question that we are going to ask this morning, but the context of our question is quite a bit different. We are nearing the end of the Easter season now. Today is the sixth of seven Sundays of the Easter season. We'll celebrate Ascension with our friends at Hope in Penryn this coming Thursday. One more week to go in the Easter season. You've heard it said before that the first few weeks of the Easter season deal with the facts of Jesus' resurrection, and the later weeks of the Easter season deal with the significance of Jesus' resurrection on our hearts and lives. The first few weeks of Easter, we did a good job of articulating and explaining and defending the facts that Jesus had actually truly risen from the dead. But are those just facts for facts' sake? Does the Christian faith start and end merely by acknowledging certain things that happened in the past? Believing in those facts, of course, is very important. We wouldn't celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead if the facts weren't the facts. But if we are content to stop there and not let the facts fill our hearts and inspire love in our daily lives, then we would be missing something pretty important. And so St. John helps us to move from Easter facts to Easter significance in the second lesson for today's service, a reading that's going to get us to ask the question, what's love got to do with it? If you'd like to follow along with our reading, it's printed on page 6 in your service booklet, the second lesson for today from 1 John chapter 4. We are focusing on just the last paragraph, verses 7 through 11, for this sermon. The Greek word agape, often translated love, shows up in one form or another some 13 times in these five verses. So there's no doubt that John's theme here is all about love. John begins, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Our translation begins with the address to the readers, "Dear friends." But the word translated friends really has that Greek root agape, that word for love, underneath it. It's the first of the 13 times in these verses where that a form of that word love appears. I suppose dearly beloved would be a valid translation here. It sounds a little archaic. Sounds like we're starting a formal wedding sermon when we say dearly beloved. But that is the flavor of what John says here. The word beloved simply means somebody who has received God's love. And since we have received love from God, love should just be a way of life for the Christian. The reason is simple. Love comes from God, John says. If you have been made spiritually reborn by the Spirit's working in your heart, if you have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ's saving work, then love is going to come naturally. And so John says it again even more simply. God is love. He puts an equal sign between God on the one hand and love on the other hand, because God is self-giving, self-sacrificing love. You cannot truly love someone else if you don't love God. But you cannot help to truly love someone when you have been made a son or daughter of the God who is love. It's Mother's Day today. Why do you love Mom? I hope you have lots of reasons later today why you love Mom and that you tell her that. Why do you love Mom? The list is probably pretty long. She took care of your every need from day one. She fed you, she changed you, she rocked you to sleep through countless sleepless nights for her, all taking care of your every need when you were an infant. And when you got a little bit older and you got hurt and dirtied up, she cleaned you up and kissed your owies so that they felt better. And then she made sure you had nutritious meals and you were taken care of day by day. When you were stumped with your math homework, she helped you figure it out. When you headed off to college, maybe Mom sent you a care package in the mail to let you know how much she missed you. As you grew up and became an adult and you weren't quite sure how to handle something, you called up Mom and you got Mom's good advice, and Mom was there for you to give you the advice that you needed. Let's face it, one of the reasons we love Mom is because Mom loved us a whole lot first before we could even do anything back. She loved us in very real and tangible and concrete ways. Why do you love God? That list could also be very, very long. He brought you into this world. He placed godly friends and loving family into your life. And he gives you bright, warm, sunny California weather to enjoy, the drought notwithstanding. He gives you income and support that you need for your daily life. He places us in a free country, a privilege that not everyone else has. A free country where we may worship him and serve him in the church. He has brought you through some difficult times in your life, and he's made you stronger by bringing you through them. Let's face it, the reasons that we love God are because he loved us first. But at the top of the list of all of the reasons we have to love God, at the very top of the list, is none of the things that we just mentioned. Those are all good things. Those are all reasons to love God and appreciate what he has done for us, but they just don't top the list that St. John has in mind. Here is what tops St. John's list in our reading. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Of all the things that John could have listed, of all the things that we could list ourselves, what's the one thing that rises to the top? How does God love us? In this one unique and special way, of all the gifts that God gives us, top of the list is that he sent to us his Son. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, and he didn't just send Jesus into this world to kind of clean things up a little bit and show us how to make the world a better place. Listen to John again. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We, who have never loved God in the perfect and holy way that he demands in his word, we, who because of our sin ought to experience not the love of God, but the wrath of God, and not for a time, but forever. We, above all, we have been blessed by God because of his love for us. Love that sent his Son to this world, not just to come down here and say hello to us, but to lay down his life for us on the cross, and in the process to suffer the hell that your sins and mine deserve as the only way, the one and only way that could achieve our forgiveness of sins, and that now offers and gives us spiritual and eternal life with God. God has loved us in so many countless ways, more than we could number. But there is no greater demonstration of his love than this. He sent his one and only Son into the world, John says, that we might live through him. I mean, is this not amazing? We know this message, but just step back for it from a moment. Pretend you hadn't heard it before. Is that not an amazing message? Can you conceive of doing anything even remotely close to this for someone in need? If your best friend found themselves in dire straits behind bars, would you trade places with them, or would you give one of your children to trade places with your best friend? I doubt it. And now let's take out the best friend and say the person in dire straits is your worst enemy. Going to trade places with them behind bars? Not a chance. Not a chance. And yet that is exactly what God has done for us. The amazing, unique, incredible love of God for lost sinners like you and me is that he would send his son to forgive us and then use that message to place faith in our hearts that we might live as his children now and forever. Can you and I receive such a gift from God, a gift like no other, and intentionally, deliberately, willingly keep that gift from changing our lives? Can we receive love that no past, present, or future gift from anyone will ever compare and not let that love permeate our hearts and our lives? John gets us to think about that question when he closes our reading with this thought in verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John addresses us one more time with that dearly beloved introduction. And notice that as he speaks to us in those winsome tones, he doesn't use any guilt. He doesn't place a stigma over us. He doesn't coerce us or force us to love each other. He pictures the love for fellow Christians that ought to naturally flow from the result of the fact that we have God's love in our hearts and lives. John gets us to think about that question. What's love got to do with it? He gets us to think about that question with that thought. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What's love got to do with it? We have received such incomparable love and grace from God that we will want to love each other. We will want to reflect the same self-giving love to others that you and I have been graced to receive. Sometimes Christians will pit the truths of, or will pit the ideas of truth and love against each other. If you notice the entire first or second lesson for today's service, the first part talked about the concept of holding on to the truth faithfully, and the second part talked about letting that truth reflect itself in lives of love. Those things should go together, truth and love. But sometimes the incorrect idea floats out there that truth and love are kind of enemies. For example, the thinking is if we hold on firmly to the truth of God's word, that means sometimes we're going to have to act in an unloving manner. That's not true, but sometimes we can think that way. Or conversely, well, if we want to be a loving people, then that means we have to kind of compromise on the truth of some of God's word. There too, that's not what God's word teaches. It doesn't have to be that way. I once remember driving around the Bay Area when I served as a pastor there. I was driving to carry out a shut-in visit in San Francisco, and I passed by a church that had one of those outdoor signs with the movable letters. And I've shared this anecdote once before. The outdoor sign said, doctrine divides, service unites. And there is a great example of misconstruing how truth and love should interact. The sign implied that doctrine, truth of God's word, somehow is going to divide people. But if we act and serve one another in love, that will unite us in a way that God's truth can't unite us. It's another example of how truth and love are sometimes pitted against each other instead of being seen as things that go hand in hand or hand in glove. They naturally go together. It doesn't have to be the way that I describe. In fact, it should never be that way. It should never be that we pit the two against each other. As we look at the 50-year milestone that we have reached as a congregation this year, and as we think ahead to what the next 50 years could look like, doesn't St. John's vision of the church sound like a great vision for St. Mark's future? And in many ways, it reflects how St. Mark's has been as a congregation. Here is a church where people gladly came in its beginnings because they finally found a church that wasn't going to mess with the truth of God's word, that was going to be faithful to the truth of God's word, and because of love for that word, this is where people made their home. Here is a church where when there is somebody in need, somebody facing a difficult circumstance, we gather and rally together as a congregation, and we have helped our members in times of need. Here is a church where people love to gather together on Sunday morning and dig deep into the Word of God because you love the Word of God and you love His truth and you want to learn more and more and grow more in faith. Here is a church where once again this morning we get to welcome another group of people with open arms into our church family and into our fellowship. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with the next 50 years at St. Mark's? The list could be as long as our imaginations, and the possibilities to love will never be depleted. But given the tremendous love that God has given us, given the tremendous message of God's love that we have been privileged to preach now for 5 decades, we are truly poised by God to be a church that loves the children in our midst by supporting their Christian education in our school, by appreciating when they serve us with the gospel message, when they sing in Sunday morning worship, a church that loves each other by our concerned prayers and our listening ears and our compassionate hearts that have love and concern for people who need our prayers and our attention, a church that loves the community by refusing to be a members-only club, but by looking for more and unique ways to reach out to the lost souls in our community so that we can welcome them into our fellowship as well. What's love got to do with it? St. John has told us well in our reading. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let John's simple words be God's vision for St. Mark's Church and for every one of our individual lives. Amen. Please turn to pages 8 and 9 in the service booklet. We respond to God's word by singing the song, "You Are God, We Praise You." Pages 8 and 9.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As the offerings are gathered, please fill out your worship attendance card if you have not done so already, and then pass it to the center aisle. After the offerings have been collected, the ushers will come forward to gather the cards as well. Dear members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, these fellow believers, having been baptized and instructed in the teachings of the Word of God, desire to become members of our congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ promises to confess before his Father in heaven those who faithfully confess him here on earth. You have come before this Christian congregation to declare your faith and to unite with us in Christian love and fellowship. Therefore, lift up your heart to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned it from our Bible information class or from past instruction, is faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in the true Christian faith? To be diligent in the use of God's word and sacraments, and lead a godly life even to death? If so, then answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Will you support with your prayers, time, talents, and offerings the work our Lord has given to this congregation? If so, then answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. Having heard your promises, we, the members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, receive you in fellowship and in love, and invite you to share in our worship and mission in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We welcome Nancy Wilson, Susan Trout, Michael Lane, Linda Lane, Stephen Lane, and Rebecca McCurry. We also have a few other new members who are not able to be with us this morning, and we will formally welcome them in next Sunday's service. Those names are listed, and we will formally welcome them coming next Sunday. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith, in mercy you joined these brothers and sisters in Christ to your church when they were born again of water and the Spirit. In mercy, you taught them your saving truth. Grant that they may offer themselves as living sacrifices to you as their spiritual act of worship. Transform them by the renewing of their minds so that they will not conform to the pattern of this world. Help us live in love and harmony with one another and work together in serving you. Keep us united in your spirit and bring us at last to your eternal kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. We'll continue our service with the prayer of the church. We bow our heads to pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only true God, and find salvation in you. Heavenly Father, you are the source of life, wisdom, and all good things. On this Mother's Day, we pray that you look with favor on all mothers who have given life to their children and who nurture them with loving concern and faithful instruction. May their children honor them and call them blessed. When they become weary, sustain them with physical and spiritual rest. Hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus, who cared for his earthly mother and in whom you are well pleased. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions that you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the third hymn, hymn number 749, which will be found in the blue hymnal supplement. Please stand as our service continues on the bottom of page 10 in the service booklet.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We join in our Savior's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Inspire us to think those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to your gracious will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Praise
be to God. The Lord bless and keep you. Face ever shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord grant you peace for all your days.
Amen.
We remain standing and close with the final two stanzas of hymn 377 in the red hymnal. Good morning to all of you, and a special warm welcome to the many guests who are with us on this Mother's Day. We pray that the message of the gospel warmed your hearts and increased your faith in our risen Lord, and we hope that we'll have an opportunity to share that gospel message with you again as well in the future. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are here. I hope that you will have a longer list of reasons that your kids love you than the one I gave in the sermon. So, no pressure on the kids. You need at least a half a dozen reasons before the end of the day. A few announcements to share with you. As mentioned in the sermon, This Thursday is 40 days after Easter, our celebration of Jesus' ascension into heaven. We have a joint service with our sister congregation, Hope Lutheran Church in Penryn. They will host the service at 7 o'clock. There's information in the weekly announcements form that you'll get from the ushers as you're dismissed, or you can pick up from the two little side tables on the side door entrances to the sanctuary. Make sure you grab a copy of the announcements, but Hope is very easy to find. You just head on I-80 toward Reno at the Penryn Road exit. You get off there, you head left off the exit if you're coming from St. Mark's, and not too much further on the left, kind of hidden back behind the bushes and the trees, you'll find Hope Lutheran Church. That's where the service will be this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Ascension service at Hope in Penryn. Friday this week is our school's musical. We encourage you to attend that and support our school students. You'll see information about that in this week's announcements as well. Then a reminder that next Sunday, in place of the Bible study hour, we will have an open forum to discuss the financial situation and the upcoming fiscal year budget. We want to be able to have that talk before you have to vote on those matters at the voters' meeting on June 7th. So this will give us a few weeks to disseminate information for you to be able to absorb it and think about it and be able to make some informed decisions when the voters' meeting rolls around later in early June. Please make sure to grab a copy of that announcement sheet and look at the other announcements for the week. Other school events are coming up with graduation just around the corner as well. But take a look at what's coming up, both as far as our church and school is concerned. We also have the Wells Connection video for the month of May, which we usually play on the second Sunday of the month. This video will show us a little bit about the work of our National Church Body's Commission on Adult Discipleship. So we'll take a moment to watch the video now.